Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, welcome back. Today's Daf Hayemi is Maseches Tmura Daf Yud Ches. We begin on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Amamar. Let's go back and review what we learned yesterday. We spoke about the Psukim, which teach that not only the actual original Karban is offered on the Mizbeach, but even the Vlad, the offspring, or even the Tmura of that Karban belongs on the Mizbeach. We had one Pasuk, Im Zachar, Im Nekeva, which taught us that the Vlad and the Tmura are included in the Akrava, and even if the Vlad is a Vlad of a Shlomim, which was a Baal Mum, so the mother animal was a Baalas Mum, unfit for Akrava, the offspring, which is fit, or the Tmura, which is fit, goes on a Mizbeach. We had another source from the next Braisa, Ra Kadashecha, extra words teach us that the tmurais and the vladais of the original karbanais are fit for a krov on the mizbeach as well. Amar Mas, let's go back to that second price. Yochel avkol akachim kain. Perhaps this concept of including the vlad in the tmura applies to all karbanais. Yochel avkol akachim kain tamolem rak. That's a limiting term. Rak adashecha, which will exclude some karbanis from this rule. Asks the Gemara, which karban do you wish to exclude? The vlad, the child of which karban? Vladiman. Either oila, the vlad of an oila? That's impossible because he's not a female, zacharu. He can't have a vlad. Vlad bar eludihu. Not able to have offspring. Vidachatas. Are you attempting to exclude the vlad of a chatas from hakrova? Well, that's without a pasuk. It's a very known halacha. Gemirla. We have an accepted practice, a halacha l'meshem Sinai, that in fact the lemiso kaimi, that the vlad of a chatas is left to die. So we don't need another pasuk for that halacha. Return to the next amud. Okay, next option is an asham, ida asham. Are we trying to exclude of the asham? Well, again, Gemirla, we have Alach Meshim Sinai that it's not fit for Akrava, the Luriya Azla. It goes out to pasture, it goes out to the farm, hoping that it gets a mum sooner or later, and the money will be afforded to the Oila fund. So that's a well-known formula. The chal shabachatos meisa. Any situation where, if it's a chatos, it goes lemisa, such as the vlad and the tmura. Ba'asham raya. So if in a similar situation, if it's by an asham, it goes the raya, goes to get a mum. It's not brought on the mizbeach. So why is this new pasuk necessary? To teach us the same? Answers the Gemara. Loilam b'chatos. Certainly we're speaking about a chatos. And as to your question, don't you already know that from the Lachal Mishmi Sinai? The answer is like this. V'ilcha sukemir l'misa. It's true that Lachal tells us that it's left to die. Why this added pasuk, okra, l'mutal akrava, to disqualify it from akrava on the Mizbeach? Ask the Gemara, but doesn't that go hand in hand? I mean, if it's meant l'misa, then it's not for akrava. V'haba atalia, one is dependent on the other. Kivan de l'misa asla, once we have the halacha, l'mosh m'sinai, and it's left to die, of course it can't be put on the mizbeach, mela l'karva. You're right, elohichas alachatas. You're right, elohichas m'sh m'sinai dictates the rule of l'chatas. So we don't need a pasuk for that. Ukro l'muti t'muras asham. Rather, the pasuk, which is coming to exclude, is coming to exclude a tmura of an asham. Ask the Gemara once again. That's already known from the halacha, right? Honami chasuk mirla. The Amri, we said, kol shabachatos meisa be asham roya. a situation where if it's a chatas es lemisa, a corresponding situation by an asham goes l'ri'ya. So why do we need a new pasuk for this? The answer is el akra mi bayle the avar makrav koy basay. It's true. From the halacha we know that the vlad, the tmura of the chatas of the asham, it's not meant for akrav. What if he did? What if he was makrav it? Comes this pasuk and says rak. Only the valid ones, as opposed to the other ones, which don't belong here. Koy ba'asei, if he violates, if he proceeds, he has transgressed an asei. It's considered a lav habomachal asei, it's a negative which is derived from a positive. Yes, these, but not those. So that's the added element that we learn from this pasuk. Not only is it not fit, but there's an iser as well. Rekiba ayme netzarech, we do not need to be memai to exclude the tmura of the chatas and the asham from this pasuk rak, because for that we have another pasuk. Pasuk says asham hu, and we learn from there only hu kariv, the actual original asham, belongs on the mizbeach. Vein tmura se kriv, as opposed to the tmura. Lama likrov elchasa gmirla. Ask the Gemara. Again, why do we need a new pasuk to disable the tmura of the asham from akrava? It's already known from the Lachom Mishim Sinai. And Tosis asks, well, we could have answered like before that the Pasuk adds another layer of Isser. Tosis says that it's not really relevant here, because earlier it was based on the Pasuk Rak. Only these and not those. That's called a Lav, which is derived from an Asay. But here he's learning it from Hu. Right? Only this. And not, that's not... it's not sounding like an assay. Go ahead and do this, right? And has a different ring to it, and therefore it doesn't have the same, assay application. In any case, ask the Gemara, well, why a pasuk? It's already halacha. You're right. We do not need a pasuk to exclude the tmura of the asham from akrav. El akra lamali. So why then do we need a pasuk? Or something else, another element that relates to an asham. Mebayle, the kedrafuna. Ask for rafuna's halacha. The marafuna. So we have an asham shenitek l'riya, an asham which was unneeded for whatever reason. The owner already had a different carbon in its stead, and nitak means it was detached, so to speak. It was sent away. It was dispatched l'riya. Given to the shepherd, go ahead and try to get it, running around, get a mum. So now it's on the mum track. We're hoping that it gets a mum, he'll sell it, use the money to buy an oil. And before it got a mum, while it was still unblemished, the fellow did a shchita on this animal in the Beis HaMikdash without any specific thing in mind. He wasn't thinking, asham or oil. Kasha l'shem oila. Guess what? It has the status of an oila. Why? Because it was slated for oila. Its destiny was oila. You were awaiting a mum, and then, to convert the value to an oila, so it had that oila tag on it already. And therefore, if you shecht it without any specific thing in mind, it automatically defaults to an oila, and it's kasha. That's only because it was nitak. It was detached, it was sent away, it was dispatched. Otherwise not. So even though ultimately it's meant to be sent out to the farm, it's meant to get a mum, it's meant to be converted to an oila, but since it hadn't yet gotten on that track, it's still regarded as a full-fledged asham, in which case, if you shech etzdam, it's not going to be considered a kashra oila, my time, why? Based on this pasuk, who? Asham who? Which means it remains an asham. Baviyasa yehe remains in asham status, unless it's been dispatched and relabeled. And that's what we learn from this pasuk. Okay. Now, lahaitana de kol yolof mahani kroy. So we had two possible sources, we had two approaches to the source of the tmura of the the oila, the shlamim, the blood of the oila, the shlamim, that it goes lahakrava. It's either from im zachar in the keva, that was the first approach, or raka the shecha, asher yulacha, etc. So the question is, what's each opinion going to hold of the other pasuk? Lahaytana to kiyolof lamehani kroi. The Tana, the second one, who learns from these psukim, typically me zachar nekeva. Why can't he learn from the first psukim zachar nekeva? The answer is only boilei. That's needed for something else, for a similar halacha, but to tell us another element of this kind of halacha. Luvlad bali mumin, ultmuras bali mumin. So we need a second pasuk for the basic. Fact that a vlad and a tumura of a kasher or carbon is valid as a carbon as well, and the other pasuk im zachar im mekeva is coming to add, even if the tumura or the vlad is coming from a mother animal which is a bal mum, which is unfit, but it in itself is fit. We're typically kuli maikra. Okay, once you're submitting to that pasuk as a source for vlad and tumura, you can learn everything from there. Just as the first time I learned everything from there, he said that Zachar tells you of Vlad, and Im Zachar tells you the Vlad of a Balmum. Nekeva tells you a Tmura, and Im Nekeva the Tmura of a Balmum. Imli Mashimli, he is not going to dwell on the word Im, it's just a word of expression, so he didn't have an extra source for that. And therefore, he can only learn one halacha from that pasuk, which is the Vlad and the Tmura of a Balmum goes on a Mizbech. Ulaitana the Nafgalei. Im Zachar and Mekeva. Now let's reverse it. According to the first Shita, we learned everything from Im Zachar and Mekeva, Levlad and the Tmura, whether it's from a Tam or Balmum, it's all a carbon. So then, what about the second pasuk? Tiso Basa My Avadu. What does it do with the second pasuk? It's coming to teach you a totally different halacha. If a fellow pledges to bring a carbon, don't procrastinate. If it's time to go to Beis Hamikdash, bring it along with you. I feel it, Mimirai, even if it's pasturing out on the farm. Well, you know, I'm not going to bother, I'm going to find another. No, you're going after this Amidash. You can go to the regular, go bring it right now. Lishnachrina, another pshat, Mimurgayu, even from its threshing, you know, equipment over there. Go ahead, get your animal, get your carbon, and bring it up with you. Now's the opportunity, don't delay. Say the Hiduga Mishnah. Rav Lezo Aymer. Interesting. In contrast to the previous sugya, where it seemed like it was universal that a vlad of a shlomim is a valid carbon, comes Rav Lezer and disagrees. He says, no, you can't bring it as a shlomim. The Gemara later will explain. First, the Gemara figures it's a pasuk. Then we conclude that it's really only midrabbanan, concerned that he might be tempted to leave his animal around and generate offspring to increase, you know, the number of karbanis that he has. So, Rav Lezer, in order to discourage that, you know, breeding practice, which might actually, cause a pitfall, because if you have a karban sitting around too long, you might use it, you might shear it. V'lad shlomim, leikrav shlomim. V'chacham, leikrav. They say, no problem, we're not concerned about a fellow abusing the karbanis. Amar Rav Shimon. Let me elaborate. There's no discussion, there's no machlekes regarding the next generation, the grandchild of the shlomim, the grandchild of the tmur. Shalikrav. That, of course, is not. Amma nechleku. The machlekes is only al vlad in the first generation. Shavlezer aymer. Laikrav. Vachacham aym yikrav. On that is machlekes. Shavlezer says, no, chacham say yeah. But in the next generation, of course not. Let's see in the Gemara how this is explained. Okay, so we have Tanakama, which says, no problem. Vlad. Rav says, even the Vlad is off limits. Rav Shimon seems to draw some sort of distinction between the second and third generations. Hey, the Rishua, we have a testimony from Rishua, by Papias. Both of them testified, Avlad Shlomim, Shikrav Shlomim. We know firsthand that, in fact, the accepted norm, the accepted practice is that the Vlad of Shlomim is a valid carbon. In fact, I'll tell you a story. Amar Papias, and he made, I will testify, Shaisa Lonu, Parah, Shazav Cheshlomim. We personally had a Parah. Ashlam in Parah, V'achalno b'Pesach, we consumed it in honor of Pesach, and lo and behold, Mazal Tov, I had an offspring, and that was consumed later on, the next Yom Tov, V'achalno v'lo, Dov Ashlam b'Chag, we ate the blood as Ashlamim during Chag. We'll see in the Gemara, this means either Shavuos or Sukkot, we'll see. In any case, I'm confirming that a Vlad of Ashlamim is considered a valid carbon in line with the Chachamim's Shita. Amar Rami, Amar B'Yechna. So why? My time to Reliezer. Why does Reliezer disqualify the Vlad of Ashlamim? So initially the Gemara will bring a Pasuk. Amar Kra, V'im Zevach Shlamim Karboni, and Rashi explains, V'im can be read like V'im, like the mother. Only the mother animal is valid, not the offspring. V'im V'lei Vlad. Amar Le Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Rav Ami. Okay, if that's the case, al miyato im al toida akrivenu chenami deim b'lei vlad. What about a toida? Im al toida is going to be read aim al toida, only the mother toida, not the vlad. So the offspring of a toida is not a carbon. Lichidem chenami. Perhaps you'll say it is so. Atani, you have a brisa clearly telling us otherwise. Brisa speaks about a toida and validates the vlad. Atani vlado tmerasa bechilafel. I mean, I had to be able to include all those secondary toidas, the child, the tmura bechilafel. There was some sort of substitute as a backup. I mean, I had to be know they are valid karbonis. Tamlam imal toida mikol malchem. All these variations are valid karbonis. Ella amar chibar avam biyechnan. It's not based on a pasuk. It's not on a Torah even. It's from the rabbanon for concern of abuse. I need time to really answer. You know what Eliezer disqualifies the Vlad of Ashlamim? Because there's a concern, we're worried. Shamba Yigadal Mehmadam Radon, if we allow the Vlad to be accepted as a carbon, he might just hang on to the mother animal and have it generate more and more Vladois, more and more offspring, to get himself more carbonis. And by the time he's done, he might mistakenly work with one of them and share it. So we're looking to expedite the Hakrova system, just go ahead and do the mother and leave the Vladis alone. Omer Rav Shimon Nechlaku. Comes Rav Shimon, he says, there's a difference between the child and the grandchild, the second and the third generations. And if you look at the Lashon of Rav Shimon, it's a bit unclear. I'm not sure exactly what he means. He says, look, Omer Rav Shimon, Lo Nechlaku, back in the Mishnah, Lo Nechlaku, there's no machlekas avlad vlad shlamim on the grandchild. Shelo Yikrav. Now, what does he mean by those words? Even Rabbi Lazar says that second generation is not likrav. In this case, he agrees. Third generation is better. So shalikrav means this is what he holds in the second generation. But here, all agree it works because it's a generation further, or just the opposite. Even the chachamim, or allow second generation, in this case, Shalo Yikrav, they will agree that the third is not valid. So which way is he going? Rav Shimon Lenechlaku, Iboy, the question was posed like this, Hechi Tani, what does Rav Shimon mean? Lenechlaku Shalo Yikravu? There's no machlekes that you can't, meaning Rav Lezer, who typically holds no. In this case, he holds yeah, Elo Yikravu. Rashi says a svara because perhaps since it's so distant from the original Shlamim, to the third generation, people won't have that, you know, point of reference. They won't realize that, in fact, it's coming from a Shlamim and it's not going to cause people to, you know, copycat and to hold on to their Shlamims. So that's a mitigating factor if it's further from the original. So that's one way to learn. So the further away, the better. By Dilma, or perhaps the other way around. It's the opposite. It's worse. Even the Chacham will say that second generation is okay, but here it's third generation. All agree it does not work. So which way is it? Amar Rabba, Mistavar Lenechalku, Shele Yikrivu, Ali Yikrivu. Says Rabba, I go with the first approach, that even the Rabbanan, even Rav Lezer, who acts as the second generation, checks the third generation. My time, you know why? Ad kan lepog Rav Lezer, Ali the Rabbanan. Rav Lezer's disagreement with Chacham is only on number two, Elo Bavlad. Avavlad la, but Number three, akroi ba'amu, it's just a happenance. It's not a regular thing. And here Rashi adds another swara, v'lishchiach l'shoysik al-kach, on the bottom line. In Rashi, it's not very common for this to happen. A chacham typically only address common concerns. Akroi ba'amu, so there's no concern. That's Rabbi's approach. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, he says just the opposite. Number three is worse than number two. Lo nechal klush ikravu. Even the chacham will hold that it's okay, that's only by number two. Ela loikravu. But here it's number three, all agree it's an X. My time, you know why? Ad kan leplik rabban leid Rabbi Lezer. Even the chacham who are more lenient than Rabbi Lezer, that's only by number two. Abel vlad. Vlad, but if it's number three, Metech Maaseo Nikeres, based on his behavior, what do we see? We see what he's up to. Nikeres Machshavta, we see what his plan is. The Legado Klabayla. He has one thing in mind, to increase his herd. The Legado Klabayla. He's holding on to them for breeding, for expansion. So, clearly, he's up to something no good. In which case, all agree, we invalidate it. Okay, so now, Tesis makes an interesting configuration. He says, according to this, Rabbi Shimon Levi's approach, we have three shittas in the Mishnah. Tanakama, who says, it works, no problem. Vlad, no problem. According to Rabbi Lezer, no offspring are valid, whether it's son or grandson. According to Rabbi Shimon, Machlek is only on the first, on the child. Rabbi Lezer says, no, Chum says, yeah, but once it's past that point, we'll agree it's an X. Between the place. Tani Rabbi Chia, lis yul of Shimon Levi. So Rabbi Chia came up with a braisa in support of this last pshat of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and it's based on a pasuk. Asks Taisus a pasuk. We just concluded that it's a rabbinic concern, Gzera d'Rabbanon. So he says, you're right, it's primarily Gzera d'Rabbanon, but there's a pasuk which serves as an asmachta, as a support, as a hint to this concept that the third generation is not accepted. So the pasuk speaks about a shlamim. It says, Im kesef, hu makrif. If he will offer a kesef, and Rashi says, Kesef is mashma v'lad t'le, a young little shepsel, a young little sheep. We learn from this pasuk, only the initial offspring, v'lad risha and korev, that works, but v'lad sheni, the next generation, grandson, einay korev, that's not valid. And from the word hu, in kesef hu makrev, that's a limiting term again, hu korev, to teach us only the v'lad of ishlamim is valid as a korban, but vein vlad kachim korev. But the same will not apply, to all korbanos. Other korbanos do not have this halacha. Okay, now when we say only this and not others, as opposed to what vlad demai, which vlad are you excluding from akrova? Either oilav asham, those two. It's not really relevant. They're males. Zachar and Haim, they don't have Vlad. Vlad ne Vlad him. Either Chatas, are we excluding the Vlad of Achatas? That's old news. Hilchasa Gmirla, Dilamisa Azla. We already know from the Halacha Mishnah Sinai that Vlad of Achatas is not valid. So what do we need to exclude? Amravina, La Suye Vlad Hamusaris. It's coming to teach us that if you have the Vlad of a Master Behema, that's not going to be kosher for a korban. Rather, you wait till it gets a mum and you eat it. Ask the Gemara of Vlad HaMusaris to teach us about the offspring of a master behemoth. Lama likra, why a pasuk? Specifically for that. We know that through a gzera shava, by linking master behemoth to Bukhar. And a Bukhar, of course, doesn't have a Vlad, which is valid. He doesn't have a Vlad at all. The Bukhar is a firstborn male animal. We have a Gzera Shava, Avara Mibchar, Kogamrla. We learn from Gzera Shava, it says by the Bechor of Avarta, it says by Master Behema, Yavar. And just like there's no Vlad Bechor for Akrova, because it's a Zahar, likewise, there's no din of hakrava for a maaser behemah's vlad. So why do we need a new pasuk to exclude the vlad of maaser behemah? The answer is istrach. We do need a new pasuk. Salka data chamin. There's room to think that really it's not a fair equation. Ain't done in efshar. How could you learn the status of a vlad of a maaser behemah, which is possible? It is a possibility because maaser behemah can be any gender. Whichever one comes out as number 10. Mishay yefshar. How could you learn that from bachur, which is a male, which cannot have a vlad? Perhaps it's not really a valid link. Kamashmon comes to pasuk and says, you know what? Here's a special pasuk. That in fact, the vlad of a maaser behemah is not kosher for a karban. So, maaser behemah is the one and only one, the one that walked out as number 10. But that cannot be transferred. So the vlad of that maaser behemah does not have karban status. Now back to the Mishnah. A vlad of a shlamim. Tanakhama says it's kosher for a shlamim. Uleza says it's not. Hey, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Papias, we have testimony. We personally had a parah. We shechted it as a shlamim on Pesach, and the vlad was eaten in the next Yom Tov. Now, the word chag, typically throughout the Mishnah and Gemara, refers to sukkahs. You mean they waited that long to consume the vlad of this carbon? How could you wait that long? Ulu Rabba the Omar. Rabba already taught us back in Sechus Rosh Hashanah. Kachem, that a carbon that you obligated to bring and to offer, you can't wait that long. Kim Shavar, Aleim Regal Echad. Once the first Yom Tov passes you by, and you don't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Yom B'Yom. Over Aleim Ba'asei. He's a violation of an asay every day that passes without him bringing it. So in this case, it was already around from Pesach. So me'atzeres boy mechle. I understand, you know, on Pesach maybe it was underage. It wasn't right. Rashi says it was born on Pesach, right? So you have to wait 7 days. So it's not relevant for Pesach, but you meant to bring it at first opportunity. Come Shavuos, you can't delay past Shavuos until Sukkos. Me'atzeres boy mechle. So what happened? Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rav. So he says, you're right, but here, Kigan Shehaya Chayla, Batzeres, it was unwell, it was sick, so you couldn't bring it as a carbon. You had to wait until the next Yom. Rav Ashi Amar, my Chag Namig Tani Chag HaShavuos. You're right, when it says Chag HaMishnah, who says it means Sukkos? Here it means Shavuos. V'idach, now the other opinion did not want to learn, like him, because Kalechi, the Tani, Pesach, whenever we have a reference to Pesach, we call the Yom Tov Pesach, which is actually a rabbinic reference, because in the Torah, Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos. So when it's called Pesach, Tani Atzeres. In contrast to Pesach, the next Yom Tov is called Atzeres. So if we're talking Lashon Torah, Rashi says like Chag HaMatzos, so next Yom Tov could be Chag, Chag HaShavuos or Chag, which is Lashon Torah, but in this Mishnah we call Pesach as Pesach, which is Lashon of Chazal. So in contrast, Shavuos should be Atzeres, which is the way Chazal referred to Shavuos. It has no specific, you know, mitzvah to be done, like matzah, or like it's just withheld from Malacha, Atzeres, held back. So the fact that it's calling it Chag indicates that we're talking about Sukkos. Yochi Ma'is Adusei. Okay, so if that was the reason why we didn't bring it on Shavuos, either because it was unwell, or according to the second shot that it was actually brought on Shavuos, so what's he testifying about? He says we had the Vlad on the Chag. I mean, what's the big deal? The answer is Lafukim Rabbi Elazar. You're right, he's coming to oppose Rabbi Elazar Shita, who says you cannot process a Vlad of a Shlamim. That's all his point. That's the only point he's making. Damar Vlad Shlomim, Likr of Shlomim. He says the Vlad of Shlomim is not valid as a Shlomim, but Kamasa, and that's why he's coming to testify otherwise. Kamasa do the Karev, so he came to testify that it is valid as a Karev. But you're right, in terms of the timing, there wasn't really much of a novelty on that point. Continues the next mission. What about a Vlad of a Taida? Or a Tmur of a Taida, or Tmurasa? Vladan. Or the offspring of those Vlad Vlad, the next generation, until the end of time, what's their status? Harel katoida, they're treated like an actual toida. Process them like a toida. Ubavan shein tuna lechem, barring the lechem requirement. So the basket of breads only accompanies the original toida, not the second generation toida. How do we know these halachos? Tanarban, we have a brisa based on a pasuk, which speaks about bringing the carbon toida. Im al toida yakrivenu, right? Vikru azalacha toida brings the breads. Ma'u oimer yakrivenu. The word yakrivenu seems to be superfluous. We could have said the same without the word yakrivenu. Rashi says, I could have said im al toida. Vikru azalacha toida, what's the yakrivenu all about? The answer is coming to add another variation of a toida. So a fellow was mafresh toida, set aside a carbon toida, expresses gratitude, thanksgiving to Hashem for saving him, for healing him, freeing him, right? And it went missing. He went ahead and he put aside another carbon instead. And then, lo and behold, we discover the first one. Now we have two. We all need one. How do we know that he has an open choice? You can choose whichever one. And alongside it comes the bread. So the word Yakrivenu can be split into two. First we dwell on Yakriv of Yakrivenu to tell you, it's up to you. Pick your choice. There's no preference to one over the other. Okay. Yochaltei Shnei Tuna Lechem. What about the second one? Do you have to add another basket of breads for the second one? Tamalayim Yakriven, new. Here comes the new to tell you. Achas v'leishtayim, only one requires bread and not two. Menayim l'rabis v'lodeis, t'murois, v'chalifois. Now how do we know that a v'lad of a toida, a t'mur of a toida, a chalifin of a toida, is a valid carbon? And Tesis asks, we just finished saying that a substitute toida is valid too. This is as they were talking, even after he was makravon, he chose it. Makravon, what happens to the one that's left behind? Tamaloymar, it's kosher, vi'im al toida. The word al teaches that you can add many more. Yochel, you kulon tunis lechem. What about adding bread for all? No, tamaloymar, azarach ha toida. Only the one original one, ha toida, that one. Toida tunu lechem, only that one needs lechem, only one. But not the secondary or copies or offsprings. Okay, so now we know that the vla, tmura, etc. of a toida is considered a valid carbon, but bread only goes to the original one, the one that he chose to be makriv. So it's the mother and the original one, or in the case when he has two, right, the one that got lost and he had a backup. So in that case, whichever one he chooses as his primary gets the lechem to come along with it. Now what about an oila? Says the Mishnah, tmuras oila. So here we don't have a vlad. Why? Because an oila is a zachar. So we have a tmura of an oila. And if that tmura happened to be in a keva, it can have a vlad. Vlad tmura. Vlad. Or generations down the line, I'd say for kol oilam until the end of the road, hara'ilu kol oilam, they're all treated like an actual oilam with all the halachas of an oilam. To and then half shit, you have to flay the skin, v'nituach and cut it up, chalishim, and all the flesh goes straight onto the fire. Now let's say he was mafresh, hamafresh in the keva oilam instead of a zachar, did it in the keva, which is not valid. The zachar mazatav and has a son, has a male offspring, which is technically suitable for Hakrova, but is coming from an unfit source, a mother which was in the Keva. Interesting question. So what do we do with this? Tanakhama said it's not really a valid oila, rather yira, achiyistoy, let it run around the farm till it gets a mum, v'yimacha, you sell it, v'yami, v'yidam of oila, and the money is used to buy a proper oila. Tzibur. So it goes into the treasury where they have a fund to buy donated oilis in the Beis HaMikdash. That was Sibu. Lazo Aymer, who wants me to krav oila? Rav Leza says, why bother doing that? Skip the whole process. Just take the actual son and process him as an oilam. Despite the fact that he's coming from an unfit mother, who cares? He's roi, gesundheit. Now the question is, we had two parts to the Mishnah. Two cases of vlad. In the beginning we had vlad tumuras oila. So you have a proper oila. From it you made a tumura, which was in a cave obviously, which had a vlad, right? Now a vlad, the Mishnah says, is a proper oila. No problem. And even Rabbi Lezer agrees that's a valid. Even Chacham agrees it's a valid oilo, despite the fact that his mother was a female, which is not really fit for oilo. Whereas in the Sefer, when he was mafresh in the keva for an oilo, here Chacham say the vlad of this in the keva oilo is not kosher because his mother was unfit. So you have two examples, seem almost identical. A vlad of a oilas in the keva. In the ratio we say it's kasha for carbon, and the sefer Chacham say it's not. Maishna reish not loy pligi, or maishna sefer the pligi. Why do they argue only in the sefer? A vlad of a nekeva that he was mafresh. Where the Chacham say it's not kasha for an oila, versus the ratio where there's no machlekes. They seem to agree. Now you can take the vlad of a tmura of an oilas nekeva and use it as a carbon. You're right, the same machlokes applies there too. Rav Lezer, and when the Mishnah says the vlad of the tmura is kosher for an oil, that's Rav Lezer speaking, not the Chacham. They hold that since it's coming off a female oil, which is not fit, so the vlad is also not fit. Rav Amar says, no way. I feel the tame Rabban, even the Rabban would agree in the ratio that it works. You know why? Huge difference between the ratio and the seif. Atkanli, pliki, alei der b'liezer. Chacham only take issues with Rav Eliezer and disqualify the vlad of a nekeva. Ela gavi mafresh nekeva loyla. That's only when he designated a nekeva as an oyla. That was the starting point. It's a non-starter. The imei loy kareva. The mother is not karev as an oyla. It's not right. So the vlad has the same status as the mother. It can't be stronger than the mother. Avol tmura in the ratio by the tmura, which had a vlad. Dime nami kreva, the mother animal, meaning the source animal, the original oila, which the tmura fed off, was a valid oila, was a zachar. So since the kedusha initially was a solid kedusha, I feel Rabban would agree that the vlad of the tmura that fed off the original oila zachar is a valid karbon. He's rooted in valid kedusha and treated accordingly. Ask the Gemara. Let's dwell on Rabbi Lezer. So a fellow was mafresh in a keva loyla. She had a zachar. Rabbi Lezer says, just be makrivim as an oyla. Umi amar Rabbi Lezer yikar of oyla. Hu atzma. Is that true? According to Rabbi Lezer, you can actually take the vlad of the keva and bring him as an oyla. Barminu of a kasha. From the Mishnah later, the Avchav, tumuras asham. So you have an asham from which you made a tmura. Vlad tmura, the vlad of that tmura. Vladan, the offspring of that one. Vladan, grandchildren. Atzev kaloilo until the end of the Yerush Yistavu, v'machru, v'yipulud mainland dava. So you can't actually offer them as an oilo. You let it get a mum, convert it to money, which is sent to the Pushkin, the Beis HaMikdash, to supply the public, you know, offerings, the oilois and the Mizbeach. Rablaza Aymer, Yomusu, to let it die. Rashi explains because according to Blazar, an asham shares the same fate as a chatas. The pasuk says ka chatas ka asham. Regarding many halachas, we had it back in Zvacha, many halachas like Shema, we treat an asham like a chatas, and just like by a chatas, all these secondary, you know, versions, the vlad, the tmura are lamisa. The same thing with an asham. Okay, so dead end. Rabbi Eli Ezer Reimer, okay, Rabbi Eliezer is the Tana of Al-Mishan here. He says, Yabi b'dmein oila. He doesn't treat it like a chatas, he can be forwarded to an oila, but you take this secondary asham, you let it get a mum, and you convert it to money, which is used to buy a personal oila. So he disagrees with the chachamim that it's a public oila, it's a private oila. In any case, clearly, the actual animal itself is not valid for akrova, unless you convert it to money. But damim in, you can use its money for an oila. Hu atzmilei, but not the actual animal. The question is why? It's an extra asham. Why not? If it's roi, if it's fit, then why not be makriv him as an oil? What do you have to go through the whole process, the conversion process? Convert him to money and use the money? Oh, apparently because since the Vlad's mother is not roi for an oil, why not? First of all, she's in the keva. And also, she's a tamur of an asham, which has to go get pastured. It can't actually be offered as a carbon. So since he's coming from an invalid source, so he's tainted as well. So why is this different than our Mishnah? You have a nekeva loyla, it's not fit for an oyla. You have a vlad. Since he's sourced in a tainted source, you shouldn't be able to use him as an oyla directly. So what's the difference? Again, so bottom line, we have two similar cases. In one case, Rabbi Eliezer says, use him as a carbon directly. In the other case, he says, no, you can't. You have to convert him to money and use it, buy with it another carbon. So in the case of a mafresh in the keva la'ila, who had a zachar, directly for an oila. In the case of a form of an asham, which was in the keva, who had a vlad, you can't take the vlad and use him as an oila. What's the difference? Amar Chizda. The truth is, Rabbi Eliezer himself allows it. But Rabbi Eliezer was simply relating to Chachamim's opinion, relating to their understanding, to their position. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the child of this derivative Asham, this Tamuras Asham, cannot be offered as an Oila directly, he himself would hold that you can do that. Rabbi Eliezer, the Vrein Rabban Kamal, was just relating to Chachamim on their position. He says, look at this, really, my personal position is that Afilu Vlad Nami Karva Oila. The Vlad of the Tmurus Asham, go ahead. He's a perfect oil, no problem. No different than a Vlad of a Nekeva oil. However, you insist that the Vlad of the Tmurus Asham is not valid on its own. You have to get it pastured, get it blemished, downgrade it to, and sell it. Okay, but the question is, where does that money go to? You insist that it goes to the public treasury. No. Keep it in-house. Let this fellow use it as his a personal donation, a personal oila. That's the destiny of the moisaris, of the monies, of the extra monies. Oidu Lumi has agreed to me, at least, the moisaris, that the leftover monies of these animals, of these carbonis, linidvas yachar azli, they're meant to be used for personal donations, personal carbon oila, not the public carbon oila. I responded, no. Moisaris, all these leftover monies, linidvas sibu azli, they're meant for the public treasury, that's the halach. But certainly, Rabbi Eliezer's personal opinion is, there's no need to go convert it, sell it, redeem it. No. If he's fit, put him on the Mizbeach as is. Rava has a different solution to this apparent contradiction. Huge difference between a Vlad of an Eilos Nekeva versus a Vlad of the Tumuras Asha, Nekeva. Rava Ma'ad Kan Loikom Rabbi Eliezer, Hu Atzmi Krav Eilo. You know what Rabbi Eliezer says? That Hu Atzmi, that Vlad himself can be offered as an oila. Ela b'mafresh in the keva loila. That's only in that specific case of our Mishnah, where he's coming from a oilas in the keva. Because as Masrash, he's not really suitable, because an oila is meant to be a zocher. But you should know that in the keva and oila are not really so far apart. There is a variation of oila that can be in a keva. Guess what? Oilas, oif, can be in a keva. If it's a bird oila, we don't differentiate between genders. In that case, you can have an akeva oila. So the concept, the labeling, the akeva class has relevance to oila. El b'mafresh akeva oila, the ikos shem oila al imay. The name oila, the concept oila. The oila class of karbonis will somewhat apply to the mother, even though she's in a keva, because you can have a variation of an Eilas Nakeva, in a bird form. So since it has some relevance, so it latches on somewhat. And at least if it doesn't work with the mother, because she's an animal, an animal cannot be in a cave of her Eilu. But she has it within her potential, within her DNA. In which case, if she's lucky enough to have a male son, it gets expressed there, and he can become a proper Eilu. So basically the point is that even though the Eilas Nekeva mother is not kosher, but she's not so far gone. Because there is in the cave a variation of Eilu, in which case, if she has a son who's Roy, go ahead, use him as an Eilu. Since even the mother wasn't entirely rejected from the Eilu status. Aval, we turn to the next page. Aval got Bitmuras. Vlad Osham. But in the case of the Vlad, the Gerus of Vlad Tmuras Osham, the Lek Hashem Oilal Imoy. In that case, the source carbon had no relevance to Oila. What happened was he had an Asham, right? Which was an Asham, right? And then he made a Tmura from it, which had a child. So the original Asham, it's totally foreign to the Eila concept. He's an Asham, not an Eila. The Lek Hashem Ash Eila Limay. There's no relevance to Eila on the mother, meaning the, here we're talking about the source, the first Asham. In this case, even Blazer agrees that this offspring cannot be relabeled as an Eila directly. Moider Blazer, the Bedam Avin, at most he can take its money, right, and use it for an Asham, Hu Atzmai Loikari, but he himself cannot be used as direct Karban Eila, because his ancestor, his source, wasn't even close to the Eila track. So he's not really fit for an Eila, he's rejected from Eila. Rather, you let it get a blemish, and it's money you take and you buy with it a Karban Eila, as per the halacha of Meisorei Zasha. Okay, we'll leave it there. So today we discussed the halacha of Vlad of a Karban. So Vlad of a Chatas Lemisa. Vlad of an Asham is actually the Machleika, some say Lemisa, because compared to Chatas, some say Lur'iyah, that's the Alocha, the Chacham hold of Lur'iyah, you let it pasture and you turn into an oil. What about Vlad Shlomim? Chacham say it's Shlomim, we have testimony to back it up. Ablazer says, no. You cannot directly offer it as a Shlomim. Rashi says you can't say lekipa, you have to let it die because of the gzera that you might be encouraged to go have it around and generate offspring, and it might come to takala. What about the grandson? We have a shayla in the Gemara whether it's worse or better. Vlad toida, the tmuras toida, etc. have the same din as the toida, but the breads only accompany one. What about tmuras oila, etc.? Have a din of an oila. What about a fellow who had a nekeva for an oila and he has a vlad zocher? Chacham say if they forward it to convert it into money, use it as an oila, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, who wants me to grab oila? According to Rabbi's explanation, it's because even though the mother was an animal, in which case a nekeva is possible for an oila, but it wasn't fully, completely rejected from the oila track because there's a concept of oilas nekeva, oilas oif, so therefore translates into the son, and if he's a zachar, he's kosher for an oil. All the best to you, and that's zachara.